Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen, living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for this morning is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So far the word of the Lord. There's really no doubt that Jesus is a shepherd. He calls us, he gathers us, he leads us, and we willingly follow. This is a very apt description of the relationship between us and our Lord. So much so that it is a picture that recurs over and over again in Scripture. Almost from the very beginning all the way to the end. Jesus is the shepherd who guides us. Even the unbeliever and the atheist acknowledges that we are sheep and he is our shepherd, although they often use it as an excuse to make fun of us and deride us. In their eyes, this is a bad thing, that we simply follow, supposedly unquestioningly, our shepherd. So the real question is not whether he is our shepherd, but whether he is the good shepherd. That's the point that so many people would argue about and contradict. That is also the real point and the heart of the discussion that Jesus is having here. A little bit of background to our text today. John chapter 9 is a wonderful account of how Jesus healed a blind man and called him to faith and made him one of his own sheep. But during that process, the Pharisees, of course, were jealous and sought a way to discredit Christ, even saying to the man who had been born blind, "This man is a sinner, you should not listen to him." John chapter 10, then, is the discussion that Jesus has with those Pharisees following that accusation. It is, in a sense, his rebuttal to their argument. They claim that he is not a good shepherd, that he is leading people away from the truth of God's word. And Jesus points out in our text that not only is he good, but he is the only good one. And they are the hirelings who do not care about the sheep. Jesus proves in our text that he is the good shepherd with three major points. The first of which is right away at the beginning of our text, and probably the most important, definitely the most important. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We were talking at the Women of Faith meeting this month about the fact that God is love and how to understand that and fit that into what we see around us, this evil, sinful, and often pain-filled world. If God is love, many people would say, why does he allow, and you can fill in the blank with any number of things, why does he send people to hell? There's a lot of points, of course, that we could argue. There's whole books of philosophy written about the question of why is there pain and how can you believe in a loving God when there is evil and suffering in the world. But the fact is that we cannot see, we cannot understand, we cannot know the things that God knows. And therefore, it's impossible for us to judge based on the circumstances of our life the goodness of God. Or I should say, based on any one particular event. For example, the shooting recently in which all those people in church died. Many people would immediately point to that and say, well, obviously, God isn't taking care of them. They're in church worshiping Him, and He allows someone to come and shoot them. Now, we could point out that, well, those who died probably went to heaven, whereas the man who was doing the shooting, if God had struck him down with lightning and stopped him, would have probably gone to hell. So which was the more loving thing to do? To allow him to continue in his evil, hoping that he would repent, or to strike him down? But again, we come back to the fact that we simply do not know and cannot understand all the ramifications of all the events going on in this world. And thankfully, we don't need to. Because the answer is the simplest thing in the world. So simple, it's embodied so well in a children's song. And Jesus points it out here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The fact that God is love, the fact that Jesus is our good shepherd, is proven beyond doubt by this one act of Christ. And he was willing to die and give his life for us. John reminds us of that in our epistle reading, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. John tells us that not only does it show, does it prove God's love for us, but in fact, it sets a new standard for what goodness and love is, far beyond anything that we would observe or understand on our own. We would not even know what the word good and what the word love meant if we had not seen the love and the goodness of Christ and of God in dying for our sins. As Paul says, that every mouth may be stopped. Instead of getting bogged down in endless philosophical discussions about the meanings and the events of this world, the Lord gives us this one final answer to the evil and the pain and the suffering of our life. I am the good shepherd. I gave my life for you, and I will keep you and guide you and guard you. And there is no argument of man, there is nothing the heathen can say in face of this one eternal truth. Jesus died for me. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. As a comparison, Jesus warns us about the hireling, the one who does not own the sheep and does not care about the sheep, and does not look out for the sheep's interest, but only for his own. Jesus really hammers this point home in our reading. And the reason, as I mentioned, is because he is talking to such people. This is not a discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples, although it's certainly partially for them. But this is a discussion he's having with the Pharisees. And he's pointing out to them, you accuse me of not caring for the sheep, of not doing what is right, of not being good. And yet you care only about the things of this world, money and fame and power. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, but of course he is also warning us against the hirelings. To those of us in the ministry, pastors and teachers, he is warning us that we need to make sure that we are serving the sheep, that we are not doing it for earthly gain, that our primary goal is the care of his sheep, even to the point where we also ought to be willing to die for the sheep. Now there's a difference there, because Jesus wasn't just willing to die, but purposely came for the purpose of laying down his life for the sheep. And he doesn't call us to do that, to purposely go forth into death. But he does call us to serve him even to the point of death. In the case of pastors and teachers, in the case of those shepherding under the Good Shepherd, this doesn't mean, of course, that we're on the front line of a war with guns and bayonets and swords or whatever, laying down our life in that way. But it means that we preach the Word and we teach the Word of God. And we do it even in the face of adversity, even if it means hardship for us, even if it means persecution. It's easy enough to be a pastor if you just tell the people what they want to hear. It's easy enough to be a pastor if you just go along with the thoughts and the feelings of our culture and our world, and it's easy to fill the pews if that is your goal. And in so doing, stroke your ego and make lots of money for yourself. But the Lord has called us to be shepherds under him, to preach the truth, and to be willing to suffer everything rather than to preach or teach what is false or contrary to his word. And to those of you in the pew who are now called into the ministry, there is a warning there also that when you choose a church, when you seek a shepherd, you seek one who does serve the one good shepherd. Not someone doing it for money, not someone saying what you want to hear, but teaching and preaching the Word of God. A good pastor is not one who preaches an entertaining sermon on Sunday and leaves you alone the rest of the week. A good pastor is not one who doesn't care if you come to church. A good pastor is one who does stick his nose in your business, who does ask you why you haven't been to church in a while, who is concerned if you're not coming to the Lord's Supper. Because such a one knows how easy it is for all of us to wander away and to get lost. A good pastor is one who, according to the command of our Lord, goes out looking for those lost ones, and if necessary, drags them back even by the scruff of their neck, which is not something that we like to hear, but is something often that we need to hear. Such a one serves the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd calls and strengthens you through such a one. Jesus is indeed the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But Jesus points to other examples of his goodness and the things he does for the sheep in our text. He knows each of us by our very name. Again, there's a line right out of what we normally think of as a children's song. It's really not. It's really one that we should all keep near and dear to ourselves throughout our life. We sing this morning, "Even knows me by my name." I asked the kids the week before that. You know, if they named their pets, and if they knew the names of their pets, and of course they did, and then I asked them if they named their cows, and Bobeks, of course, do. They, you know, do everything differently. But normally you don't name your cows, especially if you have 200 of them, right? What's the difference? The difference is a pet is something near and dear to you that you care about. I'm sure you care about your cows too, but usually just insofar as they produce milk and help you to make money. The pet is something different, something you love. And Jesus, of course, loves us even more than that. You know, I remember my dad, especially when he was flustered, would sometimes have difficulty remembering which name belonged to which of us. And so he'd have to go through the whole list. And poor Jesse, he's the youngest. Dad would have to go through 6 other names before he got to his. Jesus never forgets our name. He always knows it, and He's always watching out for us. He loves us more than we love our pets. He cares for us more even than our earthly father, as hard as that is to believe. We are not just seat fillers to Jesus, like He's got to get as many people in heaven as possible. We are His own dear sheep, whom He knows and He calls by name. And He gathers His sheep together to make and to build His church, one by one. One of the images that we know and we hold so dear and love so much when it comes to the Good Shepherd is that parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go and look for the one who is lost. And what a wonderful picture that is. Now, it's not directly in our text, but it is implied there that there are others that I must bring, and they will be one flock, and I will be one shepherd. So indirectly, Jesus is talking about going to find that one. And that is such a beautiful and endearing and precious picture because we know how easily we get lost, get distracted, wander away. And what a wonderful and comforting thing it is to know that when that happens, Jesus isn't going to say, okay, well, what's one sheep? He's going to go find us. And He's going to bring us back. Often He does it through our earthly pastor, sometimes through a friend or a loved one, sometimes always through His Word. But it's also a wonderful picture when it doesn't apply to us, but when it applies to others as well, to know that Jesus knows each one and is going to go and bring every one of His sheep into His flock. Talking about those who criticize Christ and say, well, that's not loving, that's not good. You know, another thing that they'll often point out or say is, well, it's not loving for God to only save those who believe. It's not loving for God to condemn to eternal death people just because they don't know about Him, just because they don't believe in His name. What about those tribes in the jungles of India or Africa? We've never even heard the Scripture. How is that loving and fair that God sends them to eternal damnation? But we have this promise. In the face of that, and that sounds like a reasonable argument, but in the face of that argument, we have this promise. Other sheep I have, and I will go, and I will bring them, and there will be one flock. Jesus knows those who are His, and He's not going to let them perish. He is going to go find them, even if they be at the remotest ends of the earth, and bring them back. That's another important aspect and an important part of this promise that Jesus gives us in our text as we go forth with ascension coming up, with Pentecost coming up. As Jesus ascends, the last thing He tells us is to go and make disciples of all nations. And that can seem like a very daunting task indeed. Even just sharing the Word with one person, with our neighbor or with our friend, can seem like a daunting task. They're not going to listen to me. They don't care. But in the face of that daunting task, we have this promise that He will bring each and every one of His sheep. So we don't have to worry. The result isn't up to us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is working through us. Now, when we talk about mission work, and we're going to be doing that in the upcoming Sundays, of course, we talk about it from our earthly perspective. We talk about it as we need to get out there, we need to share the good news so that people can hear and repent and can repent and go to heaven. And we have to talk about it from an earthly perspective because, you know, that's the only perspective we have. So we need that reminder that we shouldn't be lazy but go out there and share the good news. But behind the scenes, in the back of our mind that whole time, this promise goes with us that it's not our work, but it is the Good Shepherd working through us who will gather His sheep. Jesus is our Good Shepherd, the one who gave His life for the sheep, the one who knows each and every one of us by name, and the one who will find and gather all of his sheep and bring them to eternal life. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.